Good morning.
Morning.
Today's scripture reading is from the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, "These are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Hold it fast and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come for you. Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. The one who is victorious will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out the name of that person from the book of life, but will acknowledge that name before my Father and his angels. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Today we're going to continue our message on the seven churches. And as we've talked about the seven churches, today we're looking at Sardis, but each of these churches have same things going on, but not everyone in the church seems to be like that church. Because I don't know about you, there are places, organizations, and even churches that have a spirit, have an attitude. And you can say, that church is a giving church. That church is a stingy church. That church is a, you've felt places like that. You've had places you've probably worked where like that place has a spirit of concern for its employees and that place doesn't. That place thinks you're a number and our biggest concern is just getting the product down the line. You've had those places. But not everyone in those places fits that spirit or that idea exactly. But as we look at these, sometimes it's easy to look and say, that is not me. But we should always listen what the Spirit says, as Jesus says to the churches. Because there's always something, if nothing else, there's a warning. If you go down this path, there's danger. Or maybe sometimes it's a rejoicing. Thank you, Lord, I haven't gone down that path. Let me tell you something. When I think of churches and I think of Selma Christ, I do not think Sardis. Sardis was built things that propelled, that pushed things forward. They created sales. They created bows. You know, if you think about it, a bow propels an arrow. They had created things like oars and things that would sort of move ships because they were a busy river port. In this town, they also had a famous bathhouse where those who got up further in the world and could more of a retirement thing could go and just relax. Also, in Sardis, those who went out, since it was a very busy port, those who went out and did their jobs and are faithful in their jobs were rewarded. Their names were written down, and they were allowed to be dressed in white, and they were taken out and said, this person has done their job well. Also, side note, Sardis had a synagogue that ended up becoming a church. And it's clearly that whatever else was going on when this letter was written, Sardis changed. Because until that city was destroyed and people quit living there, Sardis always had a church. And the synagogue had ended up becoming the church, and it is one of the few places that still partially remain in the city of Sardis. When we think about Sardis, Sardis sees Jesus revealed as the one who holds the seven spirits of God and holds the seven stars. I'll talk with the stars first. The stars, as we heard, were the messengers, the ones that were ordained by God to carry the message. Always a dangerous thing if you think about it. Now, I'm going to predicate this on one thing. There, if a pastor or a leader or a teacher is doing something wrong, you are required in the scriptures to bring it out and point it out, and there are ways to say it. But some people just, if they don't like the message, they attack the messenger, right? But always remember, who's holding the messenger? Jesus. So if you're attacking the messenger because you don't like the message, guess who you're attacking? The one who holds him in his hand. But also, Jesus is the one who has the seven spirits of God. And this sometimes confuses people because they say, isn't there just one Holy Spirit? Yes, there is. So what are these seven spirits? What he's talking about is not that there were seven separate spirits, but the image that's coming across here is like there are seven churches, this number of completion, that he covers everything. There's a sort of also an image in amongst the seven churches about the 7 days of the week and the fact that the Holy Spirit moves on all 7 days. Always there. Always bringing forth life. The Holy Spirit meets every area. He is complete. Everything you need, the Spirit brings you. And so when he talks about the seven spirits, he's not talking about seven different things. He's saying he is complete. He has every aspect, every part that you need. He is there for you. And as Jesus reveals him as the one who has the Spirit, the one who brings life, the one who holds the messengers, he starts off talking about all the great things this church has done, except there aren't any. In the other churches, Jesus always starts off saying, I know you've done this. You've done this. And when he comes to the church of Sardis, there's nothing there. There's nothing there. Now, when we looked at Thyatira last week, we talked about the fact that Jesus told the people of Thyatira that, hey, there's a time when you need... I actually got a chair this week. That way I wouldn't try to sit on the pew and look less dignified getting up. Sometimes there's the holiest thing you can do is wait. The problem is this church had the different problem. They had a reputation of being alive, except their deeds were incomplete. As I think about it, this church, we're like, oh yeah, we need to do that. Yeah, we'll get to it. Here's the thing. When it comes to the Spirit of God, if God's telling you you need to get up and do, sitting down's the worst thing you can do. But if God is saying, you're doing all you need to do, stop. The most holy thing you could do is sit down. For this church, their problem wasn't the fact that they were trying to do and they needed to stop. This church had a reputation of saying, we've got it. We believe. And Jesus says, no, you're actually dead. Your deeds are incomplete. If I tell my wife, yep, I've got that taken care of, I'll go in the other room right in a couple minutes, and I will take out the trash. 2 days later, it's still there. Did my declaration that I wanted to take it out make her happy? How many of you think so? Yeah, I thought y'all were smart. How many of you think that she might be a little upset with me? Yeah. Maybe a little more than upset. Because if she said it needed to take out, it probably stunk already. And if I waited 2 days, now it really stinks. It reeks. This church had a reputation of, hey, I'm alive, we're doing. Except they weren't. Their deeds, Jesus says, were incomplete. Their deeds were not what they were supposed to be. And we see this pointed out in the book of James, when James says, what is good is it, my brothers, if someone claims to have faith but no deeds? Can such faith save them? And that's the question. We often believe that, and we do believe that our salvation comes by faith. And that's absolutely true. But faith without deeds doesn't do anything. In fact, I'll put it to you this way. We'll get into James in a minute. If you say you have faith in something, you believe in something, it will cause certain actions. You know, I'm looking around here this morning, and I do not believe any of you think there's a bomb in this church. You know why? Because you're sitting there. If you honestly believed there was a bomb in this church, what would you all be doing? Leaving, yeah. And we got it right. We would not be sitting here. I was talking to Blaine last week. We were talking about Walmart South and sometimes their occasional bomb threats. And the police will come and they won't let anybody leave and they won't let anybody come in. And Blaine said, if you really believe there was a bomb here, you'd let us leave. In fact, you'd be shoving us out the door. And he's absolutely right. What are they doing? They don't really believe it. They believe the perpetrator is actually in the building. That's what they believe. But if someone says, I have faith, but it doesn't respond in deeds, what good is it? Can that faith save them? There are a lot of people in the world today who say, I believe in Jesus. I believe in God. Great. What are you doing? I believe the Bible. And you're doing what it says? Well, James says, suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself is not, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. If someone says, you have faith and I have deeds, show me your faith without your deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe there is one God? Didn't we just talk about that a moment ago? Some people say, I believe in Jesus, I believe in God. James talks about it. This is good. But even the demons believe. Except they have the good enough sense to be afraid. Because it says, and they shudder. It says, you foolish person, what evidence of faith without deeds is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, considered righteous when he offered his son on the altar? Did you see that his faith and his actions were working together? His faith made complete by what he did. And the scripture were fulfilled, said, Abraham believed God and was credited him for righteousness. He was called the friend of God. You see, the person is considered righteous by what they do, not by faith alone. In the same way, it was not Rahab, the prostitute, considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. You've got to have both sides of it. You know, what do you call a $1 bill that only has one side printed on it? It's worthless. In fact, it might get you jail time if you try passing it, because they call it counterfeit. It's not real. Why? Because real money has two sides. Real faith has two sides. Real faith says, I'm doing what Jesus says. If that's like Thyatira, the thing you need to do is, then this is an act of faith. But if you're saying, oh yeah, I know what God wants me to help somebody, God wants me to do this, God wants me to change this area of my life, now all of a sudden this is an act of disobedience. It's an act of incompleteness. And your faith is dead. Now, for many of us, we are trying, we struggle in areas of our life. We may not be there yet, but we're working on it. We're trying. See, there's a difference. There's action. And faith will cause action. Or maybe I'll put it this way, faith will cause obedience. Faith in Jesus Christ will mean I will do what he says. But what does Jesus say to this church? He says, wake up! In the Bible, sleep and death seem to, they slip the words in and out quite often. Jesus said, Lazarus is asleep. His followers thought, oh great, he's okay. And he's like, no, Lazarus is dead. But we're going to wake him up. Hold it. He's dead. You can't wake up a dead person. I've been with hospice. I know that. At a certain point, the nurse comes in, checks the heartbeat. You're not waking this person up. Well, unless you're Jesus. Then he can. And guess what? If you allow Jesus into your life, he can wake up what seems to be dead. So what does he say to this church? Wake up! Obey, repent. I find that interesting he threw it that way, because I would have thought you needed to repent first and then obey. Doesn't that sound logical to y'all? Except the problem with this church is they said the words of repentance in the past, but this was their version of obedience. Jesus, I believe, is saying it the way he is because he's saying, I want you to start showing it by your movement, not just your words. I've had a number of people who've come to church and say, oh, I need to get right with God. I need to pray. And what, they have a big old altar call and people come forward, and Monday morning they're doing the same old things they were doing. In fact, sometimes before they get out the door. You know, they came forward, Lord, I need your help. I need to let go of things. I need to be less of a gossip up front. And then by the time they're out the door, he's like, do you see so-and-so over there? She needed to be forward. Yeah, because you know what she's been doing? No. Jesus says, obey and repent. He says, start putting your deeds to it. Start putting movement with it. Because the problem with this church wasn't the fact they didn't have the words, is they weren't following through. And Jesus is putting his finger on right where they needed to be. You need to start moving and start doing what I've told you to do. And you need, when you do that, you also need to repent because you haven't been doing it. And Jesus warns, he says, for those, if you don't repent, I will come. He says, I'll come like a thief. The thing about a thief is you don't know when it's going to happen. And that's the way it is in life. Things happen when we're not expecting it. And Jesus warns, it will catch up with you. I'm going to come like a thief and I will pass judgment on you. But he says, even there at Sardis, there are some who are obedient. There are some who are pure. Jesus is recognizing the fact that even here, there are some who are doing the right thing. This is the example we need to follow, he's saying. He goes on and tells them, he said, those who overcome, they'll be dressed in white. The people in that town knew what that meant. If you'd gone out, especially if you were part of that troop groups that worked on the ocean, worked on the river and loaded up your ship and you went places, you traded and did things, you came back and you said, hey, I've completed my job, and you showed your evidence that you'd done it, and you'd done this enough, you were rewarded. You were dressed in white and you were honored. Your name was written down. But now Jesus is saying, you too, in my church, will be honored like that. You will be honored and recognized. And those who were lifted up and honored were allowed time to rest or to change occupation. But I think the greatest thing that Jesus promised to those who overcome, you'll be acknowledged by him. I don't know about you, but let's see. Who should I pick on today? Oh, we're going to pick on our song leader. RJ, you got off the hook today. How many appreciate this lady? Now, she may feel honored that I said that, but let's say, who's some famous singer you like? You again? No. Okay.
There's so many. Let's just say Sandy Patty.
Sandy Patty. Let's say Sandy Patty comes in and visits one Sunday. We'd all faint, but you know, I was like. And afterwards, she comes up and she says, I appreciate how you led service. That was great. I wish I had had your experience and your knowledge. you're like, this can't be right. You're not believing what? Yeah. Okay. You can sit down. I'm through embarrassing you. This week. You know, because why? Because I say thank you and she's like, she appreciates it. Sandy Patty says this. Guess what? Sandy Patty knows a little bit more about singing than I do. A lot more about singing than I do. So if she comes in and looks over and says, you're great, that's something, isn't it? If we're faithful to God, Jesus says, I will acknowledge you before my Father. The creator of the universe is going to look at you and say, I appreciate you. I acknowledge what you've done. Wow. How much more honor can you get than that? You say, well, I'm not that important. Here's the thing. If you overcome, if you're faithful in your life and live out your faith, Jesus thinks he believes you are. And guess what? I'm not qualified to disagree with him. This is St. Charles, but I think this right now, that one thing, is the greatest privilege, the greatest reward we will ever receive. To be acknowledged by Jesus before the Father. As the scriptures say in other places, Jesus will say, come in, thou good and faithful servant. To be acknowledged before God? Wow. That is something worth striving for. That's something worth doing something for. That's something worth working for, to not just saying things, but doing it for. The thing about Sardis is it seems that when they got this message, they changed. Because as I told you before, until that city was destroyed, there was always a church in that town. Which reminds us and tells us that just because you're at a place that looks bad, and I don't know about you, this is about one of the worst. You're dead. Like, okay, there's, you know, when the doctor comes in and says you're dead, there's not much they can do after that. There's no medication they can give. Here's our anti-dead drug. Nope. It's gone. It's done. And yet, when Jesus steps in, he can bring life from death. He can bring restoration. I don't know where you are today or what's going on. I don't believe this church or that you here are dead, but you know what's going on in your life, and you may feel like at least there's some area of your life that things just aren't happening. But if you turn to Jesus and you look to him, he can bring life. He can bring hope. And he can bring healing. And when we live out that life of faith he's calling us to, guess what? The rewards are out of this world. In fact, one of the greatest rewards will be he will acknowledge us. Not just as this one did a good job, but he will say, this is my child. What an honor. What a privilege. As good a family as you had, this is one you want to be part of. Prince Charles didn't even come into a royalty even close to God's family. This is the family we want to be a part of. This is the one we want to be acknowledged by. And what do we have to do that? Just do what he says and live as he wants us to live. And here's the beautiful thing. He says he holds the seven spirits of God. He not just asks us to do these things, He will give us the Spirit and the power to do them. So He's not just saying, go do it. He's saying, yeah, you can need to go do it, but I will give you the power to complete it. Dear Father, I ask now that you be with each one of us. And Lord, if there's areas in our lives where our faith and our deeds do not match up, show us what those are so that, Father, we can live a life that you find pleasing, that our life may truly be alive. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and sing. Now, Father, I ask that you bless these people that leave here today. Lord, as we go forth, remind us always there's room at the cross for us and for all those that we love. And Lord, even for those we don't necessarily like, you want to bring them in. And let us show that love to each one. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. God bless and go with God.